There we go. Welcome to Bible class. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning and continue our studies together. Before we get underway this morning, as we always do, we honor the principle that whether one member of the body suffer, all members suffer with it, or whether one be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If there's anything you'd like to bring us up to speed on or make us aware of, announcement-wise, well, now's the time to do it if you'd like. Well, that's a good update. Thanks a lot. From my understanding, you can't do much better than the Cleveland Clinic. It's kind of renowned right now, kind of like the Mayo Clinic was when I was young. Well, I trust he'll be in good hands up there. All right, anybody else? Haven't heard from Rob or Vicky or Rob or Melissa. Yeah?
He said they're getting better and probably could have thought that they wanted to stay away at this moment.
Okay.
They are better.
Great. All right. I did get a card from Vicky this week, and so I wish I could get to see her, but they still don't. I mean, it's not a nursing home that she's in. Yeah, it's assisted living. They are really tight on that right now. So, I had mentioned my nephew had a stroke, and the last I heard, he's been released from the hospital, and he seems to be doing much better. He's having some problems, I think, on his right side, but it's not debilitating, and they think that he'll recover pretty well. Believe this was all a matter of he's a type 1 diabetic and doesn't exactly take care of himself like he should, but I'm glad to just give you an update on him that things are going better. All right. I had in the mail here this morning a lovely little note and donation. It was from Dale Johnson, and he put in parenthesis Mark Johnson's parents. You didn't need to put that, Dale. I would know you and know your name anywhere. And they're right now in Vinton, Iowa. And he said, it says it's from Dale Johnson, but it's definitely in Luella's writing, and she signs it. So it's from both of them. And they just say, "We so greatly appreciate the local assembly of Triangle Bible Church. Because of your faithfulness, we can sit in our living room in Vinton, Iowa, and be edified as a son and daughter of our Heavenly Father. Again, thank you. Luella and Dale Johnson." And I know Mark and Melanie will be listening, and so I just appreciate that so much. And I can think of Luella just about every day of my life because I have that painting she did right at my chair where I sit in my family room. And so it's a cherished possession. And so I appreciate them and their friendship over the years. For those of you who don't know it, they too have had to make this great shift with us from the way we used to believe to rightly dividing and to understanding the King James Bible being the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And boy, they haven't missed a beat. They've just been terrific. And so I just appreciate those folks very, very much, just almost like my extended family. Plus, they're Midwesterners. Iowa and Indiana are very similar when it comes to weather and being in the Big Ten and all of those things. And so we appreciate that too. All right. The only other thing I've got this morning is just an announcement on our schedule. We will be having our winter break as usual and bring this crazy year to an end. Winter break, it's posted out there, and we'll post it, I think somebody, Andrew, or somebody will throw it up on the website. It will be just as we have had it from December 23rd through January 2nd, and Bible class will resume on Sunday, January the 3rd. So Sunday, January the 3rd. And so that means our last class together for the year will be a week from today. And so that'll be Auld Lang Syne. I don't know if I want to sing it this year. But, so we'll be off Wednesday the 23rd. We'll be off Sunday the 27th and Wednesday the 30th. And then we'll be back on January the 3rd. So last Bible class of the year next Sunday. All right. Nothing else? Let's get ourselves underway then. And now please, would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And you all know, there's not a new person in here. You all know what we're doing. Very, very familiar with what we're doing here in this list of people that goes from verse 1 through verse 16. And we're not going to read down through the entire thing because you are so familiar with it. We have dealt with Phoebe. We have dealt with the matter of why this passage is included in the Scripture in the first place, what its doctrinal significance is to us. And as we've gone down then through the details of it, we've dealt with Phoebe and her being received and assisted in her business. We've dealt with Priscilla and Aquila, who had laid their own necks down for Paul and their lives on the line. We've dealt with verse 5b with the well-beloved Epaenetus, who's the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. In verse 6, we've dealt with Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And last time we finished, I said it'd be part A was last Sunday, part B was Wednesday night, and that was verse 7. So we'll pick it up there at verse 7. It says, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them." And then we'll deal with verse 16, not today, but "Salute one another with an holy kiss." Don't get excited about that. We're not going to be kissing each other. "The churches of Christ salute you." All right. and we are going to cover some territory this morning. But before we do, let's have a little bit of special music, going back to one that we've had previously, but just thought it's something that it's an old, wonderful, old hymn. And the irony of this hymn is where it's being sung in Rome itself. I believe that's where this is taking place, and the irony is not lost on me. But here is a group singing a magnificent rendition of the great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Man, singing that at the Roman Colosseum, right there where so many Christians, members of the body, were killed. That's amazing. All right. All righty. Well, we good? All right. Before we get ourselves underway, Mike, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity that we have to hear and study the Word. And we know how the power of your Word can guide in our lives and in our minds through your curriculum and the process. And as bodies, your sons and daughters, we pray that the Word continues to build within us. We pray for your wisdom and to recognize our sonship skills, that they may be clear in our minds and our priorities and the matters that we do with each day. And we thank you for all the blessings of Christ and all he has provided to us prosper. In the name of the Lord and Savior, we pray.
All right. I just noticed my my clock up here is dead. So that could go badly for all of us. I'll put my watch up here and watch that. Okay. All right. Well, as you see, once again, we're dealing with this final part of the first big section that we've been dealing with as we exit the book of Romans, and the godly labor of greeting and saluting the saints in godly love and charity. And as I said, you're very familiar with why we're doing this, why it's included in the scriptures, and God's genius in providing for us that information that produces some real doctrinal benefits for us as we go on. Dealing once again with the greets and the salutes, just to remind ourselves once again of it, I think there's a lot to do with the interaction that's going on, far more than the details or getting into any kind of legalistic thing of wanting to check boxes off and make sure that if I greet somebody or salute somebody, I do all these things. I think the big issue here is that there is an interaction of the body of Christ that is taking place, generating a particular conversation. And this is something God is going to utilize and expand on and is going to grow and grow more powerful as we continue through our sonship edification out in level 2 in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and the kind of impact that that conversation can have upon the heavenly places. But I do think there is something to be said for the fact of greeting someone as the person who is at the house, so to speak, and somebody comes to the house, you greet them. The person coming to the house salutes the person at the house type thing. But just to once again, and I'm just going to read these working definitions, and then we're not going to go over them when we go through all these people. We'll just put it on the board so it's there visually for you. When we dealt with greet, we came up with a working definition for what's going on here in Romans contextually. It's welcoming ones, them of mutual faith with expressions of joy and goodwill in connection with their mutual zeal, enthusiasm, and dedication to the process of godly edification according to Pauline doctrine. These are members of the Church of Body of Christ, all but Andronicus and Junior, but even they fit this description because they understand what's going on and they're enthused for the body of Christ to get generated and for the edification of the saints to be taking place as well. Saluting is giving a salutation in the form of a salutation to another of mutual faith by passing on some information. You're being able to converse with that person concerning godly edification according to Pauline doctrine and establishing an instant fellowship, communion, and concord. And again, it's like when you meet somebody new, that ice can be broken right away and a warmth of and tenderness of affection can immediately be established. It's like, you know, how icy it is to hear somebody knock on your door and you open the door up and they're talking to you about the Lord or talking to you about the Bible and I'm listening carefully and suddenly I hear something and the red flag throws up and says, "This is Jehovah's Witness." Or if they, you know, if they're in their white shirts with their little name tags and riding bikes, you know for sure you've got Mormons, you know, and it's that chilliness. And when you meet somebody and immediately you can establish the kind of rapport and everything, then that melts into mutual fellowship and communion and concord. All right, so we've been dealing once again with this list of names. And on our chart, and we're down. We've come down through Andronicus and Junia, who are highlighted on this chart because they are not members of the body of Christ. They are members of Israel's little flock, the remnant of Israel. And Wednesday night's Bible class was very important. If you didn't get it, you should get it. Get to an understanding from what we had from last Sunday of what the Jews, why they are even meeting with the body of Christ. And there's some things, some details that we went over on Wednesday that I think were very, very important. And so if you didn't get that, I encourage you to do that. So we finish with Andronicus and Junia. And so we pick up now in verse 8. And we're going to continue on down this list. And the first one that we get here in verse 8, the only one we get in verse 8, it says, "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord." Now watch what I'll do here. I'll put the greet one up. And we're not going to go back over that, but once again, when Amplius comes over to see you, greet him. He'll salute you back. So we have Amplius. Amplius's name. Now I get these names. I'll tell you. I just get them out of Bible dictionaries. Anybody can get them. There's no real mystery to them at all. And I don't know how accurate they actually are. But I'll just tell you what I get. And sometimes people were named back then that have something to do with their family or whatever, you know, was indicative of them. But Amplius's name means large. He was a large man. And granted, we don't know a lot about him. There's just not much known. This is it, folks. But if it were me, this would be plenty. If I were named in this list and my name showed up here, I would be over the moon, as the Brits say. So we don't know a lot about Amplius. Paul calls him, though, my beloved. And again, we've had this on several occasions, beloved, one who is greatly and intensely loved. The idea that love can not just, as opposed to, you can love certain objects of love in a more general sense, but there's others of great or highly valued significance and esteem. And Amplius was one of those. That be prefix on our English word beloved intensifies the word beloved. And this is someone who has come to be made one of great or highly valued esteem in the eyes of the one loving them. And so Paul calls him my beloved in the Lord. And again, we have in the Lord. We covered in the Lord and in Christ in these passages before. So this, once again, just as a reminder, indicates that not only was Amplius a believer in Christ and a member of the body of Christ, but he was highly valued and esteemed member in the work of the Lord, in the Lord, in the work and the business of the Lord. He was one of those edification helpers. He made this list of those who we are supposed to look at and say, we need to be this to others. We need others to be this for us as we move on and deal with the effects of the policy of evil continuing to ramp up and that ever-increasing amount of pressure that we go through to throw in the towel and quit. And so Amplius gets named here, not a lot known, but he was one of those edification helpers and workers that aided Paul in the edification of the saints. I don't know what he did. It's all speculation. Maybe he helped in copying out Paul's letters and distributing Paul's letters. We could speculate on a lot of things. But Amplius, like many others on this list, isn't singled out or mentioned just because he was a friend of Paul. I don't think that's the case in any of these people. These aren't people that he's talking about that are just friends. This isn't a list of his, you know, it's not his phone book of friends and acquaintances. There's more to it than that, and they're set contextually in the matter of what needs to be said by a father to a son once his first level of godly edification has taken place. And so he is more than just a friend. He is one who worked together with Paul and worked together to get Paul's ministry continually moving on and to get the gospel of Christ committed to Paul through the revelation of the mystery to others. And so there's just not a lot I can say more than that about Amplius, but that's Amplius. All right. Look at that. We covered a verse in 10 minutes. If you're experiencing nausea because of the speed that we're going, you know, hopefully you can take it. Verse 8, verse 9. There's kind of a tongue-in-cheek funny thing about verse 9. I'll bring it out in a moment. But he says, verse 9, he says, "Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved." And so this is one sentence, but it's divided up into two particular individuals. And so let's look at the first part of verse 9, 9a, "Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ." So we go from greet to salute. And so with Urbane, Paul's telling the saints in Rome, now when you guys have the occasion to go over and meet Urbane, salute him. He'll greet you back. Urbane is, what would you think Urbane's name means? Yeah, urban. He's a city person. He's one who is of the city. And again, we don't know anything else biblically about him but what is said here. And I want to tell you, we could say a lot, there. I could say a whole lot about all these people that is extra biblical. Because I've got information that they go into all kinds of historians, and maybe he's this and maybe he's that, but even that, they're just speculating. But I don't like extra-biblical information, either to help my cause or hurt my cause. But I just stick with what we know biblically, and we don't know anything else biblically about Urbane but what is said here. But I want you to notice, Urbane wasn't just a helper to Paul. Notice what he says carefully. Don't let this pass you by. He says, "Salute Urbane, our helper." He's our helper. He not only helped Paul out, but he was a helper to all of those of Paul's team and his associates. He could immediately help out Paul. He's somebody who, no matter where Paul was and where they got to, he could immediately bring help to Paul and his ministry. But he could also be a helper to other pastors. He could be a helper. He said, "Our helper." He could be a helper to Timothy. Paul could send him. He could be a helper to Titus or to Apollos or to Epaphras and many others. Maybe he was something like a roving deacon. I don't know if they even have such a thing. There's nothing really biblical about that, but I don't know. But he was our helper. But the end result was that Urbane was an edification helper. He was a helper to all those in the body of Christ, and something that I think would be marvelous to have said of you and have said of me as well. And then he deals with Stachys, and he says, "And Stachys, my beloved." And so we have Stachys. And again, when you, Paul can tell the Roman saints, when you go and meet Stachys, salute him too. And so get this body of Christ interaction going, and some godly fellowship and communion and concord going here. And when you go to see Stachys, salute him. All right, Stachys, what does Stachys' name mean? This is what's kind of, I think, I just find it funny. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Well, Stachys means a head of grain or an ear of corn. In other words, Stachys was a farmer. He was from the rural area. came from the farm. I just find it hilarious that you've got, so he, in one verse put together there, you've got Salute Urbane, you've got the city covered, our helper in Christ, and Stachys out in the country. You've got country and city right there. Stachys, my beloved. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that finds that funny, but I like those little things. And again, Stachys is included in this list of honor as one who actively participated in the work and the support of Paul and his ministry, and the godly edification process of other members of the body of Christ in this new doctrine, what seemed to be in the ears of anybody who heard it that was from Israel's program. It seemed to be heretical. Everybody was calling Paul a heretic. Everybody hated Paul and his ministry. There was so much hatred hurled at him. And to associate and align yourself with him was a tremendously courageous thing to do. And so he's in this list of honor, Stachys is. And because of that, Paul calls him my beloved. Again, we see this word used again and again as one who is greatly or intensely loved, highly valued and esteemed for his work and assistance of Paul and his ministry. And I think about Paul too, and what a comfort this must have been to him. The strain that Paul was under, I can't even imagine. The mental strain, the inner man strain that he underwent. And to have some of these people come along and be this kind of an encouragement to him must have been just tons of weight relieved from his shoulders. Now, before we go on to Apelles here, I want you to remember something. As we're going through this, we've just gone through two verses, verse 8, verse 9. And there's not a lot to say about these guys, but do not forget that all of those listed here put themselves in great danger. You saw in that the song that we played in the background was that place of horror. any Christian who would be brought to Rome to see that Roman Colosseum knew what was going to go on in that Roman Colosseum, especially when you've got these three nutcase Caesars of Rome at that time. You had Caligula and then Claudius, and then right coming on his heels is that nutcase of Nero. So biblical Christianity, members of the body of Christ, are going to be suffering in ways that we really haven't experienced before. And I don't want you to forget that those listed here put themselves in great danger. You know, it's the same kind of attachment and closeness that you should have that I can only say is, to me, the only parallel I know to it is that sense of patriotism that you get. You know, we live today in it. You know what's so sad today? What saddens me more about my country now than anything else, especially with the vote system. I mean, the way that our voting system now is so corrupted. It is absolutely so messed up. And the thing that pains me isn't that I'm pretty sure my vote isn't going to ever count again, but what really tears my heart up is the fact that, and we have some in here who have fought and shed their blood and some who have died for the primary reason of having that vote in this country be pure, that there is a pureness to voting in this country. They gave their lives for that. And I think of those that are buried at Arlington. I think of that and think of the fact that is such a tragedy. And I remember, and that's the only parallel I have to appreciate these who seem to have so little said about them. But the fact that they are in the book of Romans, and they're not like some who get mentioned later on that Paul says Alexander the coppersmith. That guy just dogged Paul his whole life. But these are all people that are magnificent edification giants when it came to putting their lives on the line for it. And don't forget that those listed here, they put themselves in great danger and endured all manner of reproaches and the defaming that they must have underwent for just being associated with that apostle, the Apostle Paul. And don't think that just because very little is said or known about a person in this list means that their contribution was small or that their sacrifice was insignificant. These are real, living sacrifices. And everybody, no matter how little is said about them, contributed enormously to Paul and his ministry and the edifying of the saints that came from it. So I just want to treat these lightly. And I almost, I almost tread so carefully through this passage of Scripture because of the reverence that it has to me personally of men and women whose names I can identify as being my brothers and my sisters in Christ before me who sacrificed terribly so that I could have this book in its complete, written, and errant, infallible form today. All right? But I do want to move on and look at verse 10 now. Look at verse 10. Romans 16:10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. So what we have here, as you easily see, is in verse 10, we have one verse and two sentences. So let's take up the first sentence of verse 10. Salute, that's what we've got up here on the board. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. So when you guys go up and meet up with Apelles, salute him. Apelles' name, as far as I can find out, means called. Now, some people think that Apelles is a little bit spelling different and that this is the same guy as Apollos. I don't know that a case can really be made for it, and so therefore I don't really believe that. I think this is another guy, a different guy than Apollos. This is Apelles. And what's interesting to me is that although only three words are used to describe him, only three, they are three very powerfully significant and magnificent words. They're powerful and meaningful words. Three words. If I could ever have three words that my Lord or my apostle would describe or my father would describe me as, these are the ones I want. Approved in Christ. Approved in Christ. Now, the word approved can be used in a lot of different ways. And it can be used in several senses. In fact, we have dealt with the word approved back in Romans 14:18. In Romans 14:18, but there it was an entirely different context. That was back when we were talking about the weaker brother, and for in these things, and he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable unto God and approved of men. And that's a good thing to bring out because this is one of those things you got to be careful that you don't just standardize the word all the way through, but you've got to be careful with the way it's being used in context. And so it was used back in Romans 14:8 in a different context and different sense. Paul says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. And in a context like this, when we're talking about a person who is approved in the sense, when he says in Christ, he's talking about in the sense of the work of Christ and the work that Christ is about in this dispensation of grace. It not only encapsulates understanding God's program for us in this dispensation of grace as the members of the body of Christ, the new creature, it also includes the understanding of the revelation of the mystery as it was given to the Apostle Paul and godly edification as a son and a daughter in sonship edification. So this Apelles was approved in these matters. And when he says that he was approved, it's in the sense of that edification which entails understanding of all of those details. That's a lot to be approved of. Because you can't be approved in an edification sense unless you understand what program you're in, you know what dispensation you're in, you know what time it is, you know who your apostle is. The Apostle Paul is the new administrator of this dispensational change that God has made and apostle to the Gentiles. You know what the gospel of Christ, and I'm talking about everything knowable from Romans doctrine. The mystery of Christ has already been dealt with. And godly edification by means of Paul's curriculum, and knowing that there's going to be more epistles that are going to follow this one, and that we're going to stay with these epistles for our curriculum, for our edification. We're going to stay with Paul's epistles exclusively. Apelles understood that. And as I say, on a personal note, of all the descriptive terms or monikers that Paul uses to describe the saints on this list, I have to admit that approved in Christ is the one that I would desire above all others. Approved in Christ. Let's think about the word approved for just a moment here. Approved, I know it starts with the APP, but it's the A is the prefix, and I don't have this on the board. But it comes from the Latin. In fact, we could do the whiteboard here, but I need my pen first. Yeah, I remembered that this morning. So you got approved, APPROVED, approved. And this A comes from the Latin AD. The D drops off because of the P, and they double that. But the Latin ad means to. And then we have the Latin probare, which means test, try. So now you see what it means, to test and try. Somebody tested and tried, and that's what it is. It means tried, tested, and found to be acceptable, found to be sound. Approved. When something is approved, it's tested, it's tried, it's found to be acceptable. I remember talking to an old retired Air Force pilot who talked about how that, and we just lost one of our great giants this last week. Chuck Yeager died. And how he lived to be that old is beyond me. All that that guy went through. He talked to me about how they would stress test. They would take a plane, and before they would fly it, they would try a stress test on the wings. And they would take those planes and they would chain them down to the ground, and they'd put them up on a big pedestal, chain them down, and then they would take and chain onto the edge of the wings, and they'd pull those wings down to see how far they would go before damage. And then they would pull them way up to see how high they would go, so that because they knew the G-force that they were going to experience in the air. We went to see the Thunderbirds once, and they were flying the F-16, and this old pilot put that F-16 right on its, flew it right as a knife edge, and came around the crowd like this, and you could see the wings bend as it went around. It's fascinating. They give. That's a plane that's been tested. That's a plane that's been tried. It's been approved. It's gone through stresses that are greater than it's even going to meet on in actual use. This is a great, great word, approved. Tried, tested, found to be acceptable. The Oxford English Dictionary says of approved, it means to show to be true. To show to be true. Man, do we need that today? It's like watching some of these commercials. There's a commercial, and I'm not making fun of the guy in the commercial or anything, but I think it's for Alzheimer's or dementia, and the guy's an artist, and he's taking medicine, and he says he started seeing things. He was seeing, and his wife says he's believing things that are not true, and I looked at Cindy one day, and I said, is he a Democrat? And is that what's going on here? Is he a politician? Yeah. But it's great to be shown to be true. This whole thing of the just trying to find the truth, that's all I'm after. I mean, look at me. I'm not after fame. How in the world could I be after fame? Those who claim that we're a cult, I'm the worst cult leader that ever lived. I'm not after money. I'm after the truth. And by the way, it really doesn't matter to me. It doesn't. It really doesn't matter to me whether I teach it or not. What matters to me is that I get it. And I'll tell you the little secret is, I'd rather be on your side of the pulpit than on this side. I'd love to sit at the feet of anybody who can teach me. I just want the truth. And that's what I feel is indicative of all of us here. You're not enamored with me, or you should never be. I mean, I could die today. Then what are you going to do? I was seeing if they'd look at you. He's not laughing. Oh, come on. To show to be true, to prove, to demonstrate, proved, or listen, the OED says established by experience. Man, that little word tells me so much about Apelles. He's been tested. He's been tried. He's been found to be acceptable. He's been proved and established by experience. Webster's 1828 says of approved in this sense means to prove by trial. Hence, one who is worthy. Listen, when this is said of you, then you are worthy to be commended to others. That's the beauty of one who is approved. That's what they're doing with doctors, I guess. I always wondered about that idea of a doctor always practicing medicine. I kind of wanted a doctor who was done practicing and was ready to actually get with it. But they practice their whole life. It's called a practice. But this guy, whoever can be approved in this sense, can be actually commended to another. Charles Smith says, it's interesting, George Crabb didn't even deal with the word approved. I don't know if that's a mistake in my book or what. But Charles Smith says, while praise, you think of approved like praise. He says, while praise may be general, approval is specific. That's why it's used here. Apelles was approved. There's something specific about him. Charles Smith says, we praise a man or his character generally. We approve his acts or his conduct in particular cases. And the particular case here in this context is what? That's all we've got to go on in the scriptures, in the verse. The particular case here is contextually in Christ. And that's not talking, folks, about in Christ justification-wise or in Christ identification-wise, being baptized in Christ, the moment of faith and trust in Christ. It's rather talking about in Christ in the work of Christ, in the labor with Christ in his work, or in Christ's business for this dispensation of grace in which we live. Apelles was approved in Christ's business. And it's one thing to be approved as a drywall hanger or a plumber, and you want those guys approved, right? You want them approved. You want them to know what they're doing. They call them bonded, and they have licenses, and they have all of these other things. Well, Paul was very particular about who was going to be the ones that he could commend to others. And Apelles was one that could be. He could be trusted because he'd been proven. He'd had the experience. And the big issue that is supposed to stand out with that word approve is approve. P-R-O-V-E. Proved. He's tried, tested, found to be acceptable. Let's use the word the Bible uses. Sound. That's his doctrine is sound. Through experience and testing, the person is found to be therefore commendable to others because of their soundness, which is a very important biblical word. I'm not going to get into all of this because I don't want to drag it out, but that word sound, we've gone over before together. And Paul talks about sound words, sound doctrine. You're going to be met in the very, very near future. We're going to talk about those who are going to try to cause division by good words and fair speeches. There's something better that biblically than good words, sound words, and sound doctrine. Apelles was approved because of the soundness of his understanding of God's word and of Paul's ministry and the revelation of the mystery that was given unto him. And therefore, when something is sound, it's free from error. It has no fallacy, no logical defect. It's accurate, correct, and stable. That's the soundness of one who is approved by test and trial. That one word, folks, approved, man, that tells you a lot about Apelles. Apelles was approved in Christ, and things pertaining to Christ, such as the gospel of Christ, when he witnessed to others and he took an unbeliever, and he was skilled at being able to give that person the eternal life-giving words that he needed to hear. When he would talk to him that Jesus Christ died for his sins, was buried, and arose again to give him a new and eternal life. And all he had to do was believe by faith alone in Christ alone, with no works of any kind. You don't give him anything. He didn't pollute. He didn't pervert the gospel of Christ. He didn't ask somebody to give their heart or turn around or make Jesus something or invite Jesus somewhere or ask him something. You don't do that, folks. And again, at this joyous festive season of Christmas time, when we think about gifts, I mean, it's interesting that those same people that will pervert the gospel of Christ so badly that way have no trouble when it comes to getting a gift themselves. I could just see one of these idiots, and they are idiots, the ones that pervert the gospel of Christ that way. That you give him your heart. You're not in the position to give him anything. And I know I harp on this, but I could just see somebody, if that's your thinking, if I gave you a gift, you would not take that gift until you'd run around and find something, maybe grab a little thing off your stand and say, well, here, you take this. What? I'm not taking anything. I'm giving. I'm doing the giving here. And they get this completely messed up. And that pure, simple gospel is so pure and so simple that most people are scared to death because they can't contribute anything. And they want to. They want to feel they've done something. You can't do anything. Just sit there and take it. And God's delighted with that. He's perfectly happy with that arrangement. He can say, my son did all the work. You can't provide anything. You come to this table with nothing. You are so pathetic in my sight that there's nothing you could possibly offer me. Your heart means nothing to me at this point. Now, once you're saved and regeneration has taken place, now we can talk about giving and we can talk about all the rest of it. But when we're talking about getting you out of Adam and in Christ, getting your sins forgiven, and getting eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ for you, there's nothing you can do. And be glad about that. Because if you did, you'd screw it up. Not one fingerprint of yours is on your salvation. It is all the work of Jesus Christ. Apelles was approved in that. He could give that simple and plain and pure gospel. And he could take you beyond that throughout Romans doctrine and start telling you about your justification and its results and about your sanctification and its results. And then how to put that marvelous sanctified functional life God gave you into effect. He could do that. And he could be commended to others safely. Paul could commend him to others without worrying that he's going to run off the rails somewhere and start saying, oh, and by the way, I'm God, you're not, and you owe me all your money. God told me, give me all your money. And that's about how bad some of it is today. Apelles, that little word tells me a lot about him, and I've thought a lot about him. He was approved in Christ. Pertaining to the things of Christ, pertaining to the work of Christ, the business of Christ dispensationally, the gospel of Christ, godly edification. He was tried, tested, proven in the doctrine pertaining to Christ for this dispensation of grace and Pauline doctrine. His understanding of Pauline doctrine was free from error, accurate, stable, and therefore commendable to others for their assistance in the help of godly edification, which is in faith. And that's something most worthy of being saluted. He should be saluted. Appellees, oh, I keep looking at the clock and, okay. Yeah, I have to correct this problem right now because even though I put my watch up there, I'm looking at a dead clock. And I'm thinking, that thing hasn't moved at all. I've taught an awful lot and we haven't gone at all. Time is standing still. Yeah. Oh, we're out of time for the first session, but I'm not out of time for appellees. There's a couple of very important things I want to show you about appellees. Because this word, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, I want to show you that this word has, and what appellees was, that's something that is very significant to the body of Christ, to have ones who are approved. And I'm not so sure that we really utilize those folks properly even to this day as they were utilized back then. But we'll talk about that. There's some scriptures I want to take you to before I get done with appellees. By the way, appellees, just for your information, he's the last one in this list that we're going to delve into any detail about. From here on, it's going to go pretty quick. When we get to verses 14 and 15, there's 10 people there, and he just lists them. But I do think there's two churches there. I think there's two assemblies there, one in verse 14 and one in verse 15. But we'll talk about that later. But we'll stop with Appellees right now, and we'll pick Appellees up after we stretch our legs and get a little break and maybe a little coffee. So, and not me, I hate coffee, but I love the smell of it. All right, we'll take our break, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes, and I'll make sure my clock is working.